And now, the continuing adventures of Spinner and Speak, episode 31. We are doing a special 50th anniversary episode of The Doctor.
Doctor Who?
Yes, exactly.
I'm confused. You,
who's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
Pertwee's on third. Pertwee's on third.
No, this is Doctor Who has been on the air for 50 years.
Oh, actually it hasn't, but pretty close.
Well, according to the BBC, it's been on the air for 50 years.
Fair enough.
It's been
around. I guess they're counting reruns.
Yes, and this was an interesting episode because I kind of took a back seat and asked a lot of questions because you two are the actual Whovians here.
Who?
Oh, you guys are so funny! All right, well, sit back. This is going to be a fun ride, everyone. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, The Doctor.
And I'm The Doctor.
And I'm The Doctor, too.
So, yes, there's three of us. We normally talk about superhero stuff on this show, but we're taking a left turn this week in honor of the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. And my co-hosts, Ben and John, are uber Doctor Who fans. I would say I'm a fan, but not as big as those guys. So, Ben, why don't you give our listeners a brief Doctor Who primer?
Absolutely. So, as most of you probably already know, Doctor Who is a sci-fi series originated on the BBC, but has always been aired in the US as well, if not delayed. And they are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. They started in 1963. As you may or may not know, the Doctor is a member of an alien race known as Gallifreyans, or Time Lords. And he has a special ship that lets him travel through time and space. And so he often takes human companions along on these missions that are usually of goodwill. It's honestly a little Quantum Leap-esque in how his missions seem to go. It's a lot of happenstance and a lot of being in the right place at the right time to sort of set things right.
True. But, yes. And for the non-fans out there, what about, you know, the JFK assassination? Can he go back and reverse that?
He would not be able to do that because, as the show conveniently set up, there are what are known as fixed points in time that are not changeable. They're perceived and known on a degree that to change them would cause massive ripples in the time-space continuum on a degree that is catastrophic.
Okay, then. So there you go. That is Doctor Who in a nutshell by three nuts. So, so what did you guys think of the 50th anniversary special?
I was a big fan of it. I was looking forward to it for some time. I have not been watching the show since childhood, per se. When I was a kid, I watched maybe a couple episodes here or there, but didn't follow it closely. I only really got into it with the reboot in 2005. But I followed it, and even that I got a late start to, but I caught up and I've been following it ever since. So I'm definitely would consider myself a hardcore current fan and was highly anticipating this episode and I was not disappointed at all.
How about you, John?
Okay, so I first saw Doctor Who on UHF when I was channel surfing at my grandmother's house in the late 80s. And then I quickly caught up from there, and I've seen just about every episode in existence. Except for the ones that they just found, where was it? I think in Africa.
Yeah, somewhere in Africa they unearthed some lost tapes.
Yes, so I'm eagerly waiting to see those. But yeah, I'm willing to argue quantum mechanics down to the exact quotes and, you know, episode numbers in Doctor Who, and I still believe that there are 14 regenerations because of a lot of little knickknacks that are hidden throughout the series. So I, you know, it's really one of the first science fiction things that I really took off on, and I love it. I watch it every episode I get, every episode that comes out. I get to, I will sit my wife down, whether she likes it or not, to sit and watch it. Get out the popcorn, everything.
Yeah, it's I'm not as big a fan as you guys. When I was a kid, my cousin got me into it, and it was Tom Baker was my doctor.
Just like most other people.
Yeah, well, most people our age, I think.
He is the most common people's first doctor.
He was on the longest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He was on the longest. And it was so funny because I wasn't there from the beginning of him, so I didn't know what a regeneration was. And then when he died in the series and was in the coffin and they were carrying it around and he was being regenerated, I was like, what's going on? Like, and then a different guy comes out and I'm like, no, this is weird. And I stopped watching after that.
Weren't a fan of Peter Davidson.
It's funny. I've seen some of his episodes and he was a perfectly fine doctor, but it was just like,
yeah. If you hadn't been indoctrinated with that whole premise, then yeah, I could see how that could be off-putting.
Right. So I got out of it, but I find it, and I've seen a couple of them since the relaunch, and was it 2005?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I find fascinating is, though, there's a larger swell in popularity for Doctor Who in the United States since then. You know, whereas, you know, people have said that it's more accessible now that it's on BBC America and, you know, more people are into sci-fi in the United States. Well, I don't think that's true.
No, I think people have always been into sci-fi, but I think it really has more to do with marketing. You know, the BBC America has definitely, a more conservative marketing engine than PBS ever did. Mm-hmm. You know, PBS it's public broadcast, so they do what they can. You know, whereas BBC America is a commercial station, so they're going to market and they're going to cross market across other networks in their family. So they get the word out.
Right. So last night's episode, well, as this goes up, it'll be Sunday's episode. It was interesting. I appreciated that they did it in a way where you didn't have to be that entrenched with Doctor Who. You just needed a basic understanding of the regeneration and that he's a Time Lord, I think, to appreciate the episode. I think you appreciate it on a deeper level if you've been watching it since at least the reboot.
Yeah, definitely. I think that because I was watching it with my whole family was there. My wife is a big fan. My kids enjoy it. And I also had a couple other people over. And most of them have been fairly well indoctrinated. But I know, for instance, my daughter, I don't think saw most of the season with Clara in it up to date. So she, and I don't know if she had seen where they introduced John Hurt in the last episode in the name of the Doctor. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of that background that wasn't there for them, but it didn't hurt. It didn't seem to matter to them enjoying the show.
Right. I mean, I guess though, I had I had seen the name of the Doctor, so I knew about the Time War and that he had done something that he wasn't proud of, more or less.
Yeah.
More like haunted him.
Yes.
Right.
So he said he did it, you know, not in the name of the Doctor, which was frustrating because I thought they were going to reveal his name.
Right. I think everyone thought that. And actually, a couple other Doctor Who friends, Whovian friends of mine, had discussed that after the fact, and we sort of came to the agreement that, you know, while we were somewhat disappointed that they didn't reveal his name in that, at the same time, if you think about it, what possible name could they reveal that would not be disappointing? Like, to have this character that whose name has been shrouded in mystery for 50 years, you're not going to come up with some spectacular name that's going to, like, you know, wow people.
God.
No.
There you go.
his name is Jeff.
Yeah.
His name is
Bob.
John Smith.
It's Bob.
No, totally. And I don't think I could be wrong, but I don't think in the 50 years it's been on, they ever even really alluded to his possible name. And, I mean, they have here and there, but not like given us hints that, oh, it's this. I don't think there was ever a plan to give him a name.
No, I think, I think it's always been a known mystery. It's not something they've flirted with much. The closest that I've seen them come to messing around with the whole name mystery was the fact that River Song knew his name, which was revealed when they first introduced her as a character. But otherwise, they really haven't touched too heavily on it. Most people seem content with him giving the doctor as his name.
Right. I actually saw something not too long ago where they were talking about it, and it's also one of those things in just in the culture from when the show launched, back in the 60s, where people could just be known by their title. And it was socially acceptable, so he's the doctor, and they didn't want to dwell on a name for him, so it was okay, we'll just call him the doctor, and people will accept that. It's now in modern society where it's like, well, I call my doctor, Dr. Smith or Dr. Jones
Or Jeff.
or Dr. Jeff, right? Like, what's his name? So I think that's why it's also more of a burning question, and 50 years later. What do you think, John? What do you think his name should be?
They should never give him a name. It's as simple as that. It's like you said, any name they gave him would be disappointing, and it just it there would be no there would be no story that could drive that.
All right, so let's shift to the Day of the Doctor episode. Which it's this is fascinating because we learned in the name of the doctor that there was another doctor, but Matt Smith at the end of the episode says, "But what he didn't do in the name of the doctor." So fans waited all summer and kind of just left it at, "Okay, well that means he really wasn't the doctor, so Matt Smith is the 11th doctor." Yet, in this episode, they go back in time and change what he did.
Well, I think that's summarizing it a little bit too tersely. They didn't
Tersely.
Really go back in time and change what he did. There was a time rift, I think they called it,
Convenient.
that seemed to connect between them, and it happened to connect with the point in that the War Doctor's timeline before he did whatever it is they regretted him doing. So it wasn't an act of their own making. I think it actually had more to do with the moment, which
Yeah,
was
it
the
was the moment that opened it up. It wasn't
right.
convenient at all. She did it on purpose, or it did it on purpose.
Right.
Right.
So in which resulted in them changing the course of things in a way that, none of them will remember,
No,
but allowing
but Matt Smith's doctor
Matt
will
Smith will
remember.
remember, but the others will not. But essentially, basically, making him not be the dark horse doctor that they had long thought he would become. Allowed for a level of redemption there.
True.
So.
Right, but what I'm getting at is then, thus, that now makes Matt Smith the 12th Doctor.
Actually, according to Stephen Moffat, he's been very specific about the naming of the doc or the numbering of the doctors, and so technically Matt Smith is the 11th Doctor, and the War Doctor is the War Doctor, not part
It's
of the
right.
actual
It's the
continuity.
12th regeneration, but it is the 11th Doctor.
Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, 12th regeneration, not counting the Valyard and the Metacrisis.
But the
So
Valyard didn't happen yet.
that's true.
So you can't really count that in line because technically that should be, well, if you go with Moffat's numbering, it should be the one after Peter
Capaldi.
Capaldi.
Right.
Right, right. No, and it's it. I did mention it to my daughter last night, who has also been a fan since Tenet. And what her response to it was, well, they all forgot about it afterwards as well. You know, conveniently, because they were out of sync with the original timeline, they lost their memories of the event.
Yeah.
At least the past two Doctors did.
Well, in the past,
yeah, all of the past versions would have forgotten, because we did have that event at the end where you had all 13 Doctors in one place.
Right.
Which I'm curious, they sort of glossed over how they pulled that together exactly. But they apparently did manage to pull it together. And so all of them were there, and presumably all of the other 10 of them, except for probably the 12th incarnation that's yet to come, would have forgotten about those events altogether.
Right. This is true. Yeah, that was interesting too. It wasn't bad special effects, but you know, mainly they're just showing the backs of them.
Yeah.
Because you know the first three Doctors are long gone.
Right.
And they did have the cameo with the fourth Doctor, which was basically Tom Baker making up for the little debacle of the five Doctors. Or do you guys know about that?
Not exactly.
They had an episode called The Five Doctors, and as I remember it, Tom Baker kind of bowed out. He didn't want to really do it, and since they had already started filming, they had Tom Baker's Doctor and Romana get stuck in a time loop, and so while the other four Doctors were running around doing stuff, they would keep flashing back to Tom Baker sitting there frozen. And that was basically it. So, and the fans were kind of upset about that at the time. And so this was very welcome to see him stop by and say hi. You know?
Right, as the curator.
And pretty much one of the most popular Doctors, seeing as how most of the Americans who started with the Doctor originally, that was the one they saw first, because that was the one that was first broadcast in America, and that, you know, through UHF or PBS, and that one is basically the longest run.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm sorry, I just looked it up real quick. Yeah, so The Five Doctors was the 20th anniversary special, and at that point it was Peter Davison was the Doctor, so they wanted to have all five on that episode. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a side anecdote, I had heard recently from a friend of mine, the scarf that we came to associate it with Tom Baker's Doctor was actually a bit of a happy accident.
Yes.
They had, contracted someone to knit a scarf. They thought a scarf would be a good accessory for this Doctor. Mm-hmm. As they were prepping for that reincarnation. And they contracted this woman to knit a scarf. They gave her a bunch of different yarns, of different colors, expecting that she would pick a color and knit a scarf out of it.
Yeah.
But she ended up using all of the colors and knitting a super long scarf.
Yes.
That wasn't what they really expected, but they were like, you know what, let's go with it and let's make it work.
Right. And I liked, see, now, I haven't been watching it since 2005, but the assistant, when she was wearing the scarf in the episode...
Yeah, I'm sure that was a nod.
Yes.
I don't think it was same one, but it was definitely a nod. I liked that character, actually. I was hoping to see a little bit more of her in the show. And I enjoyed, actually, the fact that there was... in that moment when the Doctor sort of made them all forget who they were...
Right.
To let them work things out, which actually apparently is like this... philosophical thing, but in that moment, it was shortly after that like the two versions of her had sort of an exchange, which basically revealed which one was the human version and which one was the Zygon. Mm-hmm. And it also, they seemed to know, but sort of kept it to themselves.
Right. No. And I think that was almost a comment on humanity, I think, you know, and our ability to learn, you know,
yeah.
and accept the situation as it is, as opposed to, you know, trying to buck against it, which I don't know if that's really true or not, but it was a nice sentiment from the writers.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys, one of you might know why Eccleston wasn't involved in the 50th.
I don't know specifically, but my understanding is that he just generally is not, he sort of disavowed any connection to Doctor Who back when he left the show.
He's pulling a Tom Baker, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, he didn't want to,
so we
didn't
might
want
see him
that.
In the 75th anniversary, but...
yeah, basically.
75th anniversary, how old will he be then? That's a good question.
Not that much. Well, yeah, he'll be around,
he's,
probably.
He's 50 now, so he would... Well, he's 49 now, so he'll be 74 then.
74 then, yeah.
So about the age of Tom Baker now.
Yeah, so he'll have to do the nod.
So we did technically see him in the episode a bit, and we saw how he came to be, which I thought was gratifying. I wasn't sure if we'd see that regeneration necessarily happen. Although, here's the thing that struck me about that a little bit. What did they, in most cases, when a regeneration happens, it's because the Doctor has been mortally injured or wounded in some way, mm-hmm. that regeneration is necessary. In the case of when the War Doctor started regenerating to become the Ninth Doctor, he was in, as far as we could tell, perfectly normal health. So I'm not sure really what they were using as justification for that happening.
No, actually there's canon for that. The first Doctor, and this is before they even used the word regeneration, he rejuvenated into the Second Doctor. Basically, the premise was that he had gotten old and worn out and very tired,
okay.
and it was
right.
time for him
to shuffle on.
Well, not to shuffle on, because at the time, they didn't even have the concept of regeneration, so he was just getting younger again.
They
used it as a trick because William Hartnell was in very bad health at the time, and they had to find a way to continue.
Right, and it's funny because some people actually point to that they used rejuvenate instead of regenerate as to say, well, then that wasn't a regeneration.
Well, no, yeah, there was some debate about that, but mm-hmm. it's considered canon now that was a regeneration, you know? I mean, they didn't even have the word, they didn't even use the word regeneration for the first time until the Fourth Doctor.
Yeah.
Right. So, John, you're probably the one to answer this question.
Uh-huh.
I'll try to answer it just to be rude.
All right, so we know that Paul
McGann.
Was the Doctor before Eccleston, and there was, you know, there was a bit of a break before they brought the show back there.
Sylvester McCoy.
It was Sylvester McCoy, then Paul McGann.
Right.
Right. No. So I'm saying, like, what happened in that time, and how come they couldn't just use him as the Doctor who was in the Time War? Why did they pull out yet another Doctor, you know, bring in a different actor?
Well, if you watch the mini episode that they created called The Night of the Doctor, you would understand that.
Ah, well, I didn't see that, so...
You should. It's 7 minutes of brilliance that they released last week.
Brilliance?
Yes, I would go so far as to say brilliance. I watched that probably at least 6 or 7 times.
Okay.
But basically, it covers the story of how Paul McGann transitions to becoming the War Doctor. And it's a pretty interesting little story that they concocted for that.
And there's a reason. It gives it a really good reason why he had to regenerate again.
Right. Definitely there's a need for it physically as well as psychologically.
Okay. All right, fine. I'll have to watch it. But is it online?
Yes, it's on YouTube.
Okay, it's everywhere.
I will also put a link to that in the description of this episode.
As you should.
Okay. No, I find it interesting because what's bothering me is, of course, Tom Baker is the oldest living Doctor at this point. You know, the first four are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
First three.
I'm sorry. Yes, Tom Baker was the fourth. First three are gone. But then, you know, Peter Davison was in the 20th anniversary. Mm-hmm. But Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy and Paul McGann, you know, okay, Eccleston didn't want to be Paul McGann. Sorry.
It's two N's. I don't know where you're making that long A.
Those guys.
Because he's an American.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm an American, exactly. Thank you. That's America. America with Sam McGain.
America.
And Eccleston, obviously, like you said, has disavowed any knowledge to Doctor Who at this point. But how come the other ones weren't involved with the anniversary?
I think, and I'm just positing a guess here, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's difficult to bring them in without it feeling like they're messing with the continuity. Like, I think they did bring in Tom Baker just as a nod, you know, to his tenure. But the rest of them, like, if they tried to actually have the others in, like, make it, instead of three Doctors, make it six Doctors, and have these other incarnations show up, but these actors are, you know, 20, 30 years older than they were when they played the parts, it would, I think, just feel a little weird. I mean, as it was, I noticed, and so did my wife notice, that David Tennant looks significantly older than he did when he was the Doctor. And yet this is supposed to be within that continuity of while he was the Doctor.
Comes from being married to Peter Davidson's daughter, but, you know. Oh, Dr. Byrne!
The Doctor's daughter, you mean?
Yes, yeah, he actually, but that's Peter Davidson's daughter, so.
I know.
Well, actually, I will say I met Peter Davidson last year at New York Comic Con, and he looks pretty good for his age. You know, he doesn't have as much hair as he did back then.
No, they actually did do they occasionally do these short, you know, mini episodes that they air online that the BBC throws together, and they did one where Peter's Doctor and David Tennant's Doctor met each other in the TARDIS a couple years ago, and I think it was just like a just for laughs type thing that they threw together.
It was one of the Christmas or for the children's specials.
Yeah,
they do a whole bunch of those.
Right.
But what I'm getting at is they had a brilliant opportunity when the Impossible Girl, his companion, jumps into the time stream.
Yeah.
And gets broken into a million points. They could have done flashbacks with her and a couple of the other Doctors, you know, without having to bring them into the episode.
Well, they did do a whole bunch of flashbacks.
Right, but while she was in the time stream, clips with her in them, as opposed to.
Well, yeah, but there's logistics involved. I mean, if you think about it, they didn't have like 3 hours like they did with the. I think the Five Doctors was like a 3 or 4 part. Series, they didn't have that much time to give each one of the Doctors screen time. Plus, there's the fact that, as Ben was alluding to, that one special episode with Peter Davidson and David Tennant, they explained it away by saying it was the effect of David Tennant's timeline on Peter Davidson that made the Peter Davidson Doctor look older. So, you know, they didn't want to have to explain all of that away. Plus, again, some of these characters, some of the actors, like Colin Baker, Tom Baker is, you know, he's having trouble walking. you can tell by the cane. That wasn't just for the show. That's his actual cane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'd be hard to bring them all back, explain all that stuff away, and still have enough time to give to the actual storyline. And I think they did a very good job with the three Doctors that they had and giving a nod to all the other Doctors. And to tell you the truth, Paul McGann doesn't look much different than he did in the 1996 movie.
Right.
No. So, yeah, he's got a painting in his attic somewhere that's aging for him. But they did a really good job, you know. And if you think about it, if you add up all the specials they did, like The Night of the Doctor and that sort of thing, they have basically had on almost every Doctor involved in this, you know, just not in the main storyline that they had for the Day of the Doctor.
Right, right.
Besides, and it's not as if they did a lot with this, obviously, because they did this 50th anniversary special, but they also had, you know, they also debuted a docudrama about the show Up to Date that aired the day before, which I actually haven't seen yet.
The Adventure of Time and Space, is that what you're talking about?
Yes. They've put out a couple of these mini episodes that have gone straight to YouTube, like the one we talked about. There's also another one that's like 3 or 4 minutes long called The Last Day that sort of is like in the midst of the actual Time War. But there is actually a short thing they put together, which I have to find, but I read about, where they actually do pull together like those actors that you're talking about that they left out, sort of in this short, somewhat comic sketch where they're actually boycotting the 50th anniversary. So they played with it.
Okay.
So it's not as if they completely left them out. They just didn't put them in the actual anniversary episode, but they didn't ignore them.
Okay. I'll give you that. So do you think, and speaking of the whole thing, do you think the Tom Baker cameo at the end, was he the Doctor, or were they just kind of playing with it?
You know? They hinted at it, but I think that I don't think that they're keeping that as being that he's the Doctor, because that would mess with the canon of things.
Yeah, because he did regenerate on screen.
Right.
So, but they could also explain. I think they were hinting very heavily that it really was that incarnation of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And they can always use the same explanation they used with Peter Davidson's Doctor with David Tennant.
Yeah.
That, you know, because otherwise it had to have been the Doctor, because who else could have gotten that painting? Right. He said, "I acquired it. It was him."
Yeah.
So it had to have been him, basically.
Fair enough. And we have had some precedent of there being alternate dimensions. You know, we know, for instance, Rose and the human version of the David Tennant Doctor exist in an alternate dimension where they live on happily ever after. Well, we know that, Dave. You may not.
what? There's a human version of the Doctor?
But, you know, and what actually always struck me about that particular episode or chronology of things is why there wasn't a version of the Doctor in that universe that played a part in things. But along those lines, there could very well be these alternate, you know, possibility dimensions that exist, and that could well be the Tom Baker version of the Doctor, but if he had never regenerated, you know, from some alternate universe and serving a role, you know, for this one.
Yeah, not every universe is going to have a Gallifrey in it. You know?
True.
Oh, and Gallifrey lasted, I think canon says 10 million years. So, you know, that's how far advanced they were after, you know, 10 million years. The
right.
Gallifreyans were pretty damn powerful, and anything could have happened in that amount of time. So that might be why there aren't versions of them in every universe.
Yeah.
But I think we want to also talk about Billy Piper showing up, because
yes.
that was pretty huge.
Yeah, and it's not actually the way I expected it to show up, because I actually didn't, when I saw previews for this, I expected that the version of those of both David Tennant's character and Billy Piper would be from that alternate universe. Say, you know, they'd been there for a few years and they got pulled into the mix, but clearly that was not the case here. But rather, we saw Billy Piper as an incarnation of the momentum, or the moment, I should say, the form that she took, which I thought was pretty interesting, being the Bad Wolf Rose.
Yeah, well, and obviously David Tennant's Doctor was from the timeline just before the episode The End of Time, where the Ood had told him that his song was ending and he should come to the planet of the Ood, and so he takes off and does a whirlwind tour of the universe before, you know, he knows he's going to bow out.
Yeah.
And he made mention in the beginning of that episode, as he climbs out of the TARDIS and tries to make an Ood joke about, you know, pressing the button on the key and having the TARDIS lock like a car, that he mentioned that Queen Bessie. He mentioned Queen Bessie, so it falls right in with this where he got married to her.
Yeah.
So he was something like, and the good Queen Bessie. Well, nobody will call her good anymore, or something like that. So they managed to fit that in really tightly.
Yeah. And I wonder though if you I'm sure there's some. Deep Whovian nerds out there who probably could answer this off the top of their heads, but I wonder how many people the Doctor has been married to at some point in his history.
I can only think of two, and one of them would be very jealous of the others and could quite possibly take them out of time itself. So, River Song is not to be trifled with.
That is true.
And considering not that this has anything to do with the actual movie itself or the Day of the Doctor, but I don't think she's done.
River?
No?
Yeah, I don't think she's done.
Go ahead.
The last thing she said in the Name of the Doctor was spoilers,
Right, and actually, I was thinking about that because they were airing that immediately before the special yesterday, and it had been a while since I'd seen The Name of the Doctor, but I was watching that, and she pointed out the fact that she had been tethered to Clara. Like, the only reason she was able to be present was because of a mental connection to Clara, who had already jumped into his time stream.
Right.
So she wasn't physically there anymore, and yet River was still there. And, that was the thing she was saying spoilers about. So I'm really curious how that's going to get resolved.
Hmm.
I tend to believe that it might actually be resolved in the Christmas special, which they showed a teaser for after the Day of the Doctor, where you see him going back to Trenzalore.
Or at least
referencing it.
See, now, that's funny, because not have watching it as long as you guys have been at this point, I didn't, when she said spoilers, I didn't take it as that.
Oh, you have to with her.
I was taking it as she was saying the companion was still alive in the time frame, in the time stream. She didn't die.
With River, it's never that simple.
Yeah.
There's even from the very first moment you meet River Song, that's one of those things that joke starts there. And yeah, it's not at all a simple and easy thing that she's just withholding something.
Yeah. But to bring it back to Rose, because I don't think we've finished quite with her yet. She called herself Bad Wolf. Now, I wonder if that is her reaching out from when she took the time energy into herself. Right.
I believe it is. You saw her eyes glow from time to time during that. So I think that is sort of the incarnation she was taking on. The somewhat more in touch with the timeline, slightly deranged.
Maybe while she was doing that, maybe the moment contacted her or used her likeness or that was a piece of her from when she was doing that.
The moment did explain the use of that likeness.
Yeah,
she said that she just pulled something from his past, but then realized it could have been from the future.
Yeah, I always get those two mixed up.
Yes,
but then she said Bad Wolf, and you could see the reaction from David Tennant's character. It's like, oh wait, did you say Bad Wolf? Because it's good that they didn't let him see her, because that would have been.
I think that would have been more difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think?
You getting this, Dave? You understand?
So the moral of the story here, Dave, is when we're done here, if you don't have a Netflix subscription, get one and watch the past 5 years of Doctor Who.
Well, I have to get a Netflix.
Oh, it's almost 8 years now, actually.
I have to get a Netflix subscription so that I can watch the new Marvel shows. But
that too.
Oh, of course.
So what you're saying is that it's a timey-wimey.
Oh, God.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff. But yeah, you should definitely, while you're waiting for the Marvel shows to get produced, you can get through Doctor Who.
I can probably try.
There's a lot of it. And then there's the new Christmas specials, the For the Children specials, the shorts, there are comic books, Dave, which actually do...
There's cartoons as well.
Yeah, and the comic books, as I understand it, actually do factor into official canon.
I don't think I've ever seen the Doctor Wear shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch. A scarf, a bow tie.
Ouch.
I'm going to drop that one.
A sweater vest.
And that didn't happen.
So what did you guys think of Dr. Angry Eyes?
That's what my
daughter said. My daughter watched the whole thing because she was like, I want to see him regenerate. I'm like, okay, fine. You want to see the doctor die. It's such a nice sentiment. And she did see the other guy start to, the war doctor start to regenerate, but she felt cheated. And she said, oh, look, it's the 13th time. He's angry. He's ugly. I don't like him.
Well, he's older. I don't think he's really angry. I think that's just sort of... That's the way his face looks. He's got kind of bushy eyebrows. So maybe they'll tweeze that a bit before they actually start filming.
Well, some manscaping.
Yes.
I mean, was that actually him?
I think it was, yeah. Why wouldn't they be able to use him? They introduced the fact that they were using him months ago. So, that's become public domain. So I'd imagine there's no reason they wouldn't be able to get some of his time to film that. One close-up for 5 seconds.
Well, I don't know. I just don't understand why they didn't show his face.
Well, it's spoilers.
Because his big reveal is the next episode.
No, actually, here's my prediction as to why they didn't show more than that. Is because to pan out and to show more would also be to show...
The TARDIS,
and I think they want to hold off on that because they may end up reconfiguring the TARDIS, either with him starting or in the course of his run. And if they do, they don't want you to have that piece of imagery to tie some continuity to the event.
That's a good thought.
The circles. I always liked the circles.
Did you know what they were talking about there?
Well, obviously the redesign of the TARDIS at some point, but go ahead.
The circles are from the original TARDIS,
and
which pretty much lasted all through the fourth Doctor, although the fourth Doctor had another control room that was done in very nice wood paneling.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Was there a nod to that? Let me ask, because again, I didn't watch a lot of the older stuff. When in that scene with Tom Baker in the museum. There was that wall behind them. Was that a nod to the TARDIS design?
Good catch. Yes. Yes, it was. So, yeah, I caught that too. So, yeah, there are not. I'm sure there are nods we didn't even catch.
I just loved all the jokes throughout the whole thing. Were just great. Like all the little zingers and one-liners and things like that. And the humor in it was just what you'd expect from Doctor Who, but it was great.
Yeah,
like all the shoe jokes and things like that,
or David Tennant's Doctor constantly insulting the Queen of England.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. And,
you're
like,
evil.
Actually, a diatribe on the rabbit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I think that's got to be because there have been some fan outcries for him always walking up to monsters going, "I'm the Doctor. I'm 900 and whatever years old." And
and he went and did that to a rabbit.
Poor bunny.
Yeah. And Clara just walking in the door just before they were about to try to disintegrate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Although you gotta like that, the War Doctor scans the door and then lets the program run for the next 400 years. Right.
Right.
I mean. Wow, talk about the most get-out-of-jail-free card ever.
Well, that was foreshadowing, because that's exactly how they figured out how to save Gallifrey at the end.
Yep.
Because they basically had the first Doctor start that calculation, and so by the time they needed it, it was done.
Yeah.
So, here's something else. It was in actually the name of the Doctor, not the 50th anniversary, but John would know this. When in the beginning, in the first Doctor, I don't know how many of the episodes you've seen of the first Doctor, but was that what the TARDIS looked like originally? an oat
cylinder, like a stone cylinder, essentially.
Yeah, well, that's I think they've only shown that skin of the TARDIS like two or three times in the entire series. But that's what all TARDISes actually look like before the chameleon circuit kicks in.
Right.
And then, of course, on the Doctor's TARDIS, the chameleon circuit stuck when he was back in 1963 England, and he never got around, never bothered to fix it, I'd say.
Right,
I never got around to it. He's always had, he's tried to fix it several times.
And right. There was actually a point, I think, where he had the information to be able to fix it, but chose not to.
Well, that may have happened, I don't know that. When that happened, but I know in the sixth Doctor, he actually did fix it, or well, I use air quotes fix it because he appeared once like under a bridge and it took the form of an organ. So
yeah,
you know, there were some mishaps, and I gather he just accidentally kicked it, air quotes again, to bring it break it again to put it back to the blue box standard.
Right.
After that.
How do you step out of an organ?
They came around from behind it, if I remember the episode correctly. So I don't know if there was like a door on the other side or what. They never really showed. And I know there were a couple of others, but I can't remember them off the top of my head because it's been a while since I've seen the Sixth Doctor episodes.
But I want to say with David Tennant's Doctor, the Tenth Doctor, there was some point in that where like someone had said, you know, I can show you how to fix the chameleon circuit in that. And he's like, yeah, that's okay. I like it this way. But there was also, I think, it was with the 11th Doctor in one of the River Song episodes where, where she was piloting the TARDIS, and it didn't make those sounds that it usually makes. And he's like, where are the whooshing? And stuff. It's like you always leave the parking brake on.
Yep. yeah, I like that one. That's good. He does it on purpose now.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think John is going to be our resident Doctor Who historian.
Perhaps.
That's going to be his official title now on the show.
Well, if he's a historian, I'm the ground reporter.
Of course. Yes.
So the end of the Day of the Doctor, we now have a new quest. We now have to go find out where Gallifrey went. Now I have no idea how that's going to dovetail with the continuity of the End of Time, where the Castellan Rassilon.
I think it actually does fit because they didn't really explain. You know, that we knew that it was in some sort of, it was locked away somehow. Those events, they escaped. But they didn't seem to refute, they didn't seem to talk about where they were trapped to an extent that would refute what happened in this episode.
It was time locked because the sheer number of times that the Daleks and the Gallifreyans went back in time, forward in time to reverse, you know, whole bunches of defeats and victories, it basically wrapped itself up so tightly that nobody could literally get out. And that's how the Gallifreyans got out, was they created a link between the Master, a retroactive link between the Master and them, using the four beat thing, and then sending the diamond star.
The white point star diamond. Yeah, I watched the episode yesterday as well. So
that's how they got out, but that doesn't that shouldn't be possible if they are not just time locked, but are actually time
pocket dimension.
But time locked means they can still act. What the Doctors did this time was basically freeze them, so they shouldn't even be able to act. It's a frozen point in time, not just a time locked pocket of our universe that is now separated from the rest.
Right.
So
I'm sure they'll find a way to justify that the two fit together. That whatever they did in this one fits with the events of End of Time.
It'd be nice. It's going to be hard, though. But then again, they've gotten out of tighter scrapes.
Tighter wickets.
Yeah, basically.
Well, here's a question. in all honesty, it's like, it's a show that's been on for 50 years. It's a science fiction show that's been on for 50 years that has had to contradict itself at some point, you know, or try to explain things away.
Well,
so I mean, you know, can't you think that they'll just find a way to explain this away?
Well, they usually find they usually try to explain it away. It's not just, oh, well, that didn't happen anymore. Given that said, though, there's no such thing as a continuity problem with Doctor Who.
Right, right.
You've got the Impossible Girl who just went through all of the timelines and the Great Intelligence, mm-hmm. so they could have affected everything the Doctor's ever done. You have the fact that, Rose had time powers for a while, and she affected whole swaths of the timeline. Mm-hmm. You've had this, the Day of the Doctor, which mm-hmm. could have possibly have changed things. The Time War definitely changed things. And, you know, just right down the line, there's so many things that everything can basically be explained away by the timeline having changed because of one of these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I mean, but also, has there ever been a big fan outpouring, reaction when they try to explain things away? Like, no, you can't do that.
Well, right now they're trying to get an explanation of why there have been 14 regenerations of the Doctor, and yeah. technically you're only supposed to have 12.
Yeah, but I think that's one of those things that people will complain about, but not necessarily jump ship as a result of, because by holding to that, you're basically saying, I want this show to end, where most people don't. Most people want to see it keep going.
Oh, no.
Like, they just want the explanation so they can feel justified and keep in following it along.
Yeah, I think you find more people try to say, oh, no, the one between 1 and 2 wasn't a regeneration, so there's actually only been 10 doctors, so we can keep going for a little longer. I think that's what you see more on the internet.
Yeah.
That's well, you'll see a lot of that. I don't think we'll get any real official answer for a while.
Okay,
although now that Gallifrey is somewhere and the Doctor can find Gallifrey, mm-hmm. well, Gallifrey is the High Council gave the Master 13 new regenerations so that he could fight in the war for them. So now that the Doctor can find Gallifrey again, he can get another 13 regenerations, which would probably be his reward for having saved the entire planet.
Yeah.
Well, I actually heard that somewhere too. One of the, I don't remember who it was. One of the actors from Doctor Who. Oh, it's one of the companions. I can't remember which one. Was just recently on The Nerdist, and you know, basically she was saying, well, you know, it's science fiction, and yeah, they set it up to be 13 regenerations. Or 12 regenerations a long time ago, but it's science fiction. You can always have a mulligan where, oh no, now all of a sudden he's got 10 more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
those,
comic
those
books.
First
Nobody's ever
didn't
dead.
Count. Yeah.
So wait, I'm just trying to figure something out here. You're saying that there's been 14, or the next one will be the 14th regeneration?
Technically, there's been 14. If you count the Valyard and the Metacrisis, And the War Doctor, you're looking at 11, and then the Valyard would be 12, the Metacrisis is 13, and then the War Doctor is 14. So technically, it's 14. Now, you can say that the potion that he took to become the War Doctor gave him an extra regeneration. You can say the Valyard hasn't happened yet and might never happen. And you can say that the Metacrisis technically didn't get.
It can't never happen, though. It would it has to kind of happen because that affected the past of the Doctor.
Yeah, it would be a fixed point in time that he would still remember because it was part of his normal timeline. So yeah, you're right. That still
now,
has to happen.
I could see them somehow making it a schism, maybe. Like instead of actually, because I don't think anyone really will want to watch a show that centers around the Valyard for any significant period of time. Mm-hmm. So maybe they find some way to do. Like maybe in the form of a Christmas episode, that you know we get Peter Capaldi's reincarnation coming up this time, and next time something else happens where there's a split, where he regenerates, but somehow regenerates into two versions of himself.
Like maybe that's why.
a good maybe version and a crazy version.
Maybe that's why his eyes are so angry.
Perhaps. So, I'm sure they'll figure something
like
out.
Like a split personality kind of thing?
Right, so the Valyard is one half of him that goes off and does crazy things. And he's, you know, and the half that he is the more grounded half. To keep
doing. I don't know. It could be interesting to watch a series with do it in a way where, see, it's tough because you're dealing with real time.
Mm-hmm.
So people have grown old and died, but you know, if you could have the other doctors come back and try to stop him and make that the story, that might intrigue.
Yeah, because I think that the tricky part with it is, so say you actually do the Valyard as the generation for the Doctor. That means you're going to do an entire series of however long that guy sticks around, that then incarnation exists.
Of the evil Doctor.
Of the evil Doctor, you know, as a show of him going around and doing dastardly deeds across the universe.
Which would be awesome!
Which could be awesome, but you'd have to have a counterpoint to that, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe you bring the Master back in some form, and he's the good guy, in a sense.
I just remembered. Actually, the Valyard is still part of canon because it was mentioned by the Great Intelligence as one of the names of the Doctor.
Yes, it was. They called him the Storm, something else, and the Valyard were other names that he mentioned for him.
Yeah.
But people watched, that movie, what's it called? Revenge of the Sith?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Which ended on a dark note.
But it was supposed to end on a dark note. You knew where the redemption was coming from.
And yet you know that the Valyard is the last reincarnation, so...
Right, but that's not how people... That's not the note people want to go out of. Yeah. Go out on with Doctor Who. It's like, yay, we've had 50-some years of a Doctor we love, and now he's going to be a crazy evil version of himself and then die.
That would be like, a great big middle finger to the fans.
It really exactly. would. So, yeah. so it That's what to we be, need. It'd have to be paired with some sort of redemption, and you'd have to have foreknowledge that redemption is coming to be able to stick with
it. And besides, they're not going to end the Doctor. Not anytime soon.
It's never going to end.
Well, also think about it this way too, right? If you have, what's his name, David
Tennant?
Not Tennant. I'm sorry.
Peter Davids?
Peter? No. Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi.
Right. If we're saying he's the 12th Doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that his next regeneration is going to be evil, you could have him spending his entire time trying to figure out, how do I stop myself before my next regeneration?
Yeah, that could be part of the ongoing storyline for the next part of it.
But yet, if you're the Doctor, you probably don't think that way because you live hundreds of years in each regeneration.
Actually, you'd have to say, I think you have to take a different take on that. Because if you take the incarnations statically, like let's say even the regeneration from the 8th Doctor to the War Doctor counts in his number of available regenerations. If it does, even though Peter Capaldi will be known as the 12th Doctor, it's really the 13th incarnation, in which case he doesn't have any more regenerations, technically. So he's probably going to have to be a little bit more careful from that point forward. He's not thinking about what he's going to become next. He's going to be thinking about, how do I keep from dying permanently?
Or he can go around looking like a decomposing zombie like the Master did for a while.
So here's a question. Is it canon that the last incarnation is, I can't think of the word now, just blew, is the evil one, or is it just
it was
one
the 13th?
No, 13th. Yeah, it's not canon. It's canon that it was for the Doctor. It's not a general Time Lord thing that they all decide to become evil at the end.
No, no.
But
it's for the Doctor, though. That
it was 13th. The Master who said it, though. So, hey, if it was the Master who said it, you know, even though they've made it part of the canon and the Great Intelligence mentioned the name, the Valyard, the Master may have had his own reasons for saying when it was or how it was. So
okay, so,
yeah.
So it's not...
Could be steering or fear factor.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to find a mulligan where, you know, they could sit there and say it is a one of his 13 regenerations is evil, not his last one is. Because if it's just one of them, they could probably recon and say, oh, well, you know, actually this one was the evil one. And they've spent all their time correcting all the mistakes he made.
I don't know. You never know.
You know, you could go back and say Eccleston was the evil one because he wasn't there long.
Yeah. Well, it's Moffat. It's, you know, he can pull anything out.
Yeah,
I'm really impressed with the story writing that the man can do, because he can make anything edible and make it cool.
Yeah. I do like, though, so, you know, I'm sure we've all seen several previews for this episode that aired yesterday. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I remember hearing and seeing and reading about is this line that the War Doctor says about how, you know, what was it? You know, great men are forged through fire, and it's up to the lesser men. It's the privilege of the lesser men to light the flames. And I always, I like that phrase, but I always sort of assumed it was somewhat of a grandiose statement he was making about himself, mm-hmm. not really knowing how he was going to be characterized.
Right.
It was actually an interesting turn to see in context that actually he was referring to himself as the lesser, right. and those future incarnations as the greater.
True. But again, that could have been a mulligan as well. He could have been the evil one because he killed the entire race, but no.
Yeah.
They didn't go that way.
No.
All right, gentlemen. Well, we've been at this for about an hour now. Any final thoughts?
Yes.
Can't wait to see the next 25 years.
Yeah. I'll be happy just to get to the Christmas special, but I'm looking forward to it beyond that, too.
Yeah.
Cool. I think I will start watching it again.
By the way, in celebration yesterday, we did have some Doctor Who themed snacks and drinks.
What is a Doctor Who's themed snack?
So we made, as drinks, we made Sonic screwdrivers.
Nice.
So colored, blue or green.
Are they screwdrivers that make you scream when you drink them?
No. And as far as food, we did make fish sticks and custard, and we didn't have to eat them together though. and also made a 11-layer dip.
Nice.
But I did have a hidden 12-layer stuck in there. That was black.
And you'll need a regeneration after you eat it because it was just that fattening, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Meat and cheese and hummus and guacamole and all sorts of things in there.
It's just
I did do a layer of lettuce for the fifth Doctor. I didn't feel like putting celery in there.
Nice.
Speaking of screwdrivers, it's just a tool. Why do you keep pointing it like it's a gun?
I know.
It's like a Walter.
That was great. How about you, John? Any final thoughts?
No, that's it. Yeah, I can't wait to see you next week. Yeah, because who the hell knows where it goes? As long as they can find somebody who can tell stories and weave them like the last two have, you know, because it's going to be hard to beat Moffat. I think this is just going to go on for as long as it can because, you know, it's just that good.
So,
yeah. I do think that Moffat's probably going to hit a point where he's going to want to move on to do something else, and someone else might take the reins. But I'm still hopeful that things can... He'll set a stage that people can continue to build upon.
So, John, yeah. Did you make your TARDIS-shaped cookies yesterday?
No, I never got around to it. I had too many other things to do before I had plenty of popcorn, but, you know...
All right. Well, I just had popcorn and soda, guys. Sorry, you know,
yeah.
Pedestrian.
If you had come over here, you could have enjoyed our fancy hors d'oeuvres.
Well, maybe you'll have to make some more and bring them into work.
Perhaps.
All right. So, I don't know any clever Who quips to end the episode on. So, So I'm looking for you two to give me something here.
How about you take the 10th Doctor's, battle cry, and I'll take the 11th?
Oh, right. 10th Doctor. 10th, got it. Okay. So, allons-y.
Geronimo!
Okay. And on that note, have a good week, everyone.
Hey, everyone. You just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.